Well, good morning. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And so last week, Sunday morning, we finished up our Bible class, which was a study of the book of the Philippians. And today we're going to conclude our study of 1 Thessalonians. And next week, we're going to begin a brand new study of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a great book. I look forward to the study of that book with you. And so today, as we close out Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, I want to make it clear that it is God's will that we be joyful and thankful and prayerful. All right? And so this is God's will. You know, often we say, God, I want to know your will, or God, what is your will? Well, he plainly states here that this is God's will. In verse 17, verse 16, he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And so God clearly states, this is my will for you, that we be joyful and prayerful and thankful. Now, I debated on how I wanted to close this out, whether I wanted to talk about all three of those things, but I decided that we would just focus on prayer this morning. And so that's what we're going to do. And so prayer is a conversation between you and God. And yes, it's a conversation. It goes both ways, because when we pray, the Bible says that God answers our prayer. And so prayer is a conversation. You know, we converse with family and friends every day of the week. And I discovered that men speak on average between 7,000 and 8,000 words. But women, on the other hand, speak 20,000 words a day. And I know you ladies say that's because men don't listen, and we have to repeat ourselves. So that very well may be the truth. Men don't listen very well. And I know my wife often has to repeat herself. But prayer is the most important conversation that you will ever hold. There is no conversation more important than talking to God. And so 3 points this morning. Point number one is talking to God. When you talk to God, you share your heart. You pour out your heart to Him. 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says, "Cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you." You see, in prayer, we ask questions. We often want to know, God, why is this happening, or why is this going on in my life? We make requests. God, heal my brother or my wife or my friend or my sister in Jesus. But also in prayer, we often express, I think, disappointments. Sometimes God doesn't answer prayer the way we think He should, and sometimes we feel disappointed about that. Nonetheless, we express that. But in prayer, we thank and praise God for who He is and what He has done in our life. You see, God knows your hearts and your motives. He knows everything about you. Jesus said He knows the hairs on your head. He knows what you need before you ask Him. And so God knows how to come through when it comes to your prayer life. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, He says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you even ask Him." So He knows what you're going to ask Him before you ever ask Him. He already knows. And God is prepared to answer that prayer. And so prayer is for you. It's not for God, right? Prayer is you seeking God's help, God's guidance in your life. James says in James 5:14, Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And so when there are sick among us, the Bible gives us clear-cut instructions on what we're supposed to do if we want God's help and God's healing. I love this verse in Matthew 9:37. And then he said to his disciples, this is Jesus, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Here's the point I want to make here. Evangelism is useless without prayer. And so if you're not praying, you're not talking to God, you're not going to be successful in evangelism. Evangelism only works if you're prayerful. It does not work otherwise. And Jesus says we need to pray and ask God to put laborers into the harvest. Because if there's anything the church lacks today, it's laborers in the realm of evangelism. And by the way, you need to know that you have a helper in the Holy Spirit. Paul says this over in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I love this verse. Paul says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." I don't know exactly how all this works. I just know that it's true. I just know that when I'm unable to express myself to God, when I don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit intervenes and he helps me in my prayer life. And by the way, there are times when we don't know how to pray. You know, you get a knock 3 o'clock in the morning and a police officer is standing there. Well, your heart sinks automatically at that, right? But then he proceeds to say, "I need to inform you that your son or your daughter was in a car accident and you need to go to the hospital." You know, or your son and daughter was just killed. They were hit by a drunk driver. What do you say? How do you pray at that moment? Do you know what words to use? No. You have no idea how to pray at that moment. And so this is when the Holy Spirit will help us in our prayer life. I'm thankful to know that I have a helper. And he intercedes for us. That's what Paul plainly states. I know there are those who say the Holy Spirit does not work in our lives apart from this book. Oh, yes, he does. That's got nothing to do with the Bible right there. That's got everything to do with the work of the Holy Spirit and what he does in our life. And so, relationships are dependent upon communication. Communication is the bedrock for any relationship. If you're not communicating, you don't have a relationship. And so communication is the act of getting to know someone. It's through communication our relationship deepens. And so I want to give you some tips for talking to God. Tip number one, have a set time and place to pray. You need to be intentional about your prayer life, because if you're not intentional about your prayer life, you're more than likely not going to pray. Or you're not going to pray as much as you would if you were intentional. And so setting aside a time and a place, you know every day when you get up, you're going to go to this place at this time and you're going to pour your heart out to God. And so it's absolutely vital that we have a place. You know, Jesus often separated himself, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few moments. But he often separated himself from his disciples, and he went to a place, a quiet place, where he could talk to the Father. And by the way, it takes 3 weeks to develop a habit. And so if you want to get into the habit of prayer, maybe you're not in the habit of prayer. If for 21 days you will go to a certain place at a certain time and pray, you will find out that that becomes the habit of your life. And prayer needs to be the habit of our life. Number two, you need to remove all distractions. So if there's a TV blaring or the radio is on in the room that you're in or the place that you're in your house, you need to turn those off. because those are distractions. It's hard to concentrate and pray, because I don't know about you, but when I'm praying and when I pray for a while, other thoughts start coming into your head, right? You can't really stop that. And so it doesn't take much to get us off track. And so any noises or anything like that, it's just going to be a hindrance to you. You want a quiet place. You want to be able to just pour your heart out to God. And then you want to thank and praise Him. You know, that's how I begin every prayer, is by thanking God for who He is and what He has done. You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Remember, it's God's will that we be thankful and prayerful and joyful. And so in praying, we are to be thankful. And then number four, you know, confess your sins. Confess your fears to God. Lay your heart out to God. And then pray for others. You know, after you express everything that you need or you desire in your life, then we want to engage in intercessory prayer. We want to lift up all of those who are sick, all of those who are hurting, you know, those who are studying the gospel, those who are on the mission field. We need to lift up those people, because as I said a few moments ago, without prayer, evangelism won't accomplish anything. We need God. And without God, we're nothing and we're helpless. And so those are just a few little things that might help you in your prayer life. But secondly, let's talk about listening to God. James says in James 1:19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Notice, be swift to hear. Most of us are not swift to hear. We're swift to speak, right? We want to speak, and we're swift to do that. And many times people, when they're talking to someone or in a conversation or they're at odds, they want to speak. They just want to speak. You know, they want to get their piece out. We need to learn to be quick to hear, to have our ears open to God, because God answers prayer. And in Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth." Just be still and know that Yahweh is God, and listen to Him. Because when you pray, remember, prayer is a conversation. It's two ways. It's not just one way. It's not just you speaking. It's you listening after you speak for the answer to the prayer that God most certainly will give you. And so let me give you just a few tips on listening to God. Number one, listen to Scripture. Listen to Scripture. And so when you pray and you pour your heart out to God and then you're engaged in Bible study, you need to listen to God, because often, you know, God can speak through the study of Scripture. So you're reading a passage and you prayed about something, and it's pretty clear that God is answering you in this text, or at least this is a possible answer to the prayer that I've been praying about. And so listen to Scripture. Listen intently to what God has to say, because often He will speak through His Word. We need to echo the words of Samuel when he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Is that you? Is that you? Where when you pray, then you are quick to hear God and you're saying, "God, I'm listening." Are you listening for God's response to your prayer? Surround yourself with good Christian friends who can speak truth into your life, because sometimes God answers a prayer through a relationship. And so you've prayed to God about something, but in a conversation with a godly brother and a godly sister, they speak words that you perceive as an answer to the prayer that you have been praying about. And so it's really important that we surround ourselves with good, godly men and women who can speak truth into our lives. Remember, they too are praying. They too are in the Word of God. They too know God's will. And so often they will express that to you as you share your prayer life with them. And then maybe they speak. And as they speak, it just reaffirms something that you learn through the study of God's Word. So it's important to surround ourselves with good and godly people. And then have a journal to record what you're learning and what God is saying to you in your life. And many people find this to be really, really helpful. Just a journal, your prayer life, what you pray about, and then how God answered that prayer. That's powerful, because God answers so many prayers in our lives and we forget all about them. You know, we get down the road 10 years ago and we forget all the amazing ways that God has responded and answered prayer in our lives, and we've completely forgotten about that. Well, if you have a journal, you can go through there and go back and you can see how God has answered your prayer in many ways in the past. And it really helps your faith. It's amazing how it helps your faith. And then here's something else. You know, spend a few moments before worship. Hopefully you do that. And where you just talk to God and you say, God, you know, please speak to me. And I want to hear what you have to say. And so maybe in the worship service, God responds. And maybe he answers you. And maybe it comes in a song. Right? Maybe it's a line in a song that God answers a prayer that you just prayed about. Maybe it's through the sermon or through a text. Maybe it's the text that we're dealing with, or maybe it's a text that's read prior to the sermon that has nothing to do with my sermon, because our scripture reading, we have two. And so maybe God will speak through that word. So there's a number of ways that God can speak. It can come through a sermon. It can come through a song. It can come through the text of Scripture. But we need to be listening. We need to hear what God has to say. So we need to listen to God. And then number three, he says that we are to pray continually. And so how can I do that? Do I disengage from family and friends so that I can pray every minute of every day? No, I don't think that's what Paul is saying. You see, prayer is a mindset. And to pray continually just means that, you know, realize that prayer can happen at any time, any place, anywhere. And we want to be a praying church. You know, as God's people that meet here, we should be known for our prayer life. We need to be a praying church, asking God to work in our lives and to heal and to help us in our evangelism efforts to reach the world with the gospel. And so, you know, prayer needs to be our default mechanism. Prayer needs to be automatic. So when something happens in our life, prayer should be the first thing we do. But prayer is not the first thing we do so often. We may go to someone and talk to them and seek their counsel before we ever go to God and seek his counsel. Prayer should be our default mechanism. We should automatically go to God in prayer no matter what happens in our life. That should be what we do. We just bow and we pray, or we drop to our knees and we pray, or we fall prostrate before God and we pray. Prayer needs to be automatic. It shouldn't be the last resort. And for many, that's what it is. It's a last resort. We've exhausted all other avenues, and all that's left is prayer, and so now we pray. Prayer should be automatic if you're a child of God. You know, one of the things I think is kind of cool to do, Let's say that maybe you're trying to evangelize your neighborhood or your neighbors or whatever it might be. You know, just driving through your neighborhood praying, asking God to open up hearts, asking God to give you an opportunity to share the gospel with someone in your neighborhood, but just cruising through and praying for your neighbors, you know, asking God to work in their life. And I know that there are many things that they need God's help for, but that's a neat way, I think, to pray. You can do it in your quiet place, right? You can pray for your neighbors in your little room somewhere, but I think it's kind of cool driving through your neighborhood. And I remember when I first came here, I used to come into this auditorium and I used to walk around here and I used to pray, God, fill this room, fill this place. And God did. And for more than 15 years, you know, we had 230, 240 people that were seated in this room. And I know it's because I prayed for God to do that. It didn't happen because of anything I did. God did it. And so God does hear prayers like that. You know, pray for those who are struggling in life. And there are so many people. So many people in the church and outside the church who are really struggling and they need God's help. So pray for them. You know, as I said before, Jesus pulled away from his disciples 33 times in the Gospels. Now, that's repetitious, right? So Luke will record what Matthew does and Mark, etc. But 33 times, if you count them all up, we see Jesus leaving his disciples, going to a quiet place and praying. And I believe Gethsemane was his prayer closet. He often went there and he talked to the Father. So 33 times he pulled away. So I think there is value in pulling away. I think it's good that we pull away. Life is fast. And there's a lot of confusion and a lot of noise. And so just to get away in a quiet place where it's just you and God, it's important. And so you want to know what will deepen your prayer life? I'm going to give you a very profound answer. This will deepen your prayer life. Pray. Nothing will deepen your prayer life more than praying, right? And so if you want to deepen your prayer life, get into the habit of praying and your prayer life will get deep. And by the way, don't be concerned with your words and how you say something. I remember my homiletics professor at Harding. When we were talking about sermon preparation, there's really three parts of the sermon. Your introduction, your sermon, and then your conclusion. Or tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. All right? That's what you do. But anyway, he said, when it comes to your introduction, don't spend so much time setting the table that people aren't hungry when it's time to eat. And sometimes I think we worry about, you know, we spend so much time wrapping the gift that we fail to give the gift. And so just pray. Just pray. God doesn't care how perfect every word is. Don't worry about that. Just talk to God. He can care less the vocabulary that you use. He doesn't care. Just talk to him. In Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, says, and he also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, God knows the condition of your heart. He knows what's there. He knows what makes you up. He knows everything there is to know about you. And that's important that we understand that. But also, God deserves all praise and all glory for all the good things He's doing in your life and in the lives of other people that we're praying for. And sometimes we give the credit to others rather than to God. So we might give credit to our boss for giving us a raise or a promotion rather than giving praise to God. Or maybe you praise your doctor because he's healed you, and you thank your doctor for healing you, but you fail to thank God who you prayed would heal you. Or maybe it's the banker who gives you a loan for a home, and you're thankful to the bank because they were willing to give you a loan. We need to thank God. And so what I'm saying is, so often we thank everyone but God. God deserves praise. And so it really boils down to this today. Will God hear you call out to Him more this week and subsequent weeks than in the past? Hopefully He will. Hopefully this message will encourage you to be a praying believer in Jesus. And so let's conclude with a prayer. Father, it is through Jesus Christ that we come into Your presence, and we thank You for the text of Scripture that tells us to pray continually. And we know it is Your will that we be a praying people and a praying church. And I pray, Father, that this church will truly be a praying church. We need to depend upon You more than we do. And the reason that we're not as successful in life or in evangelism or anything else is a failure to come to You and seek Your help. Because we as humans are limited. We as humans can only do so much. But You can do all things, and nothing is impossible with You. And so I pray, Father, that this message will just encourage us to pray more than we've prayed in the past, to realize that we need You, and we're nothing without You, God. We thank You, we love You, and we're grateful that we have so many texts that tells us that You want us to come into Your presence, and You want us to talk to You, and that You want to help us. And we're thankful, God, and it's through Jesus that we are. Amen. Amen. And so this morning, if there's anyone that has a need, maybe it's you want to lift up someone in prayer, and you want this church to gather around you and pray with you about a significant need in your life, we would love to do that. And so we're going to sing a song, and we're going to encourage you to come. And if that's your desire, we hope you'll do that. If you don't know Jesus and you've not been forgiven your sins in Jesus Christ, we hope and pray you'll come forward as well when we sing this song. And let us share with you the good news of the gospel so that you might be saved, so that your sins will be forgiven. And so whatever your need is, make it known as we sing.